always imagined what I would be doing when I was a kid. And believe me, standing here today is not one of them. I always wanted to be a toll collector when I was a kid. I would go to sleep at night envisioning myself, it was like 25 cents, please. Now it's like $5 to get through the toll. 25 cents. Sovereignty of God, that's what we're looking at here. What is the sovereignty of God, and what does that mean? What does the Bible say? Why do Christians fuss and argue over it? Is God sovereign? That is God large and in charge or not? Is he small and not in charge? Who has likewise surrendered his sovereignty of planet Earth to someone else? You know, I've met a lot of people that believe that. That think that God gave up his sovereignty over you and over this earth. All because Satan is good at telling lies. All this will I give you, my left ring finger. All this will I give you. No, God is large. God is in charge. God is still in charge. This is his universe. That's what we're going to look at here. Is he or not? Does God rule? Does God reign? Perhaps you say to yourself, these are silly questions. We all know that God rules. But as Jesus says in Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do you believe that? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sold to the American. That's enough to get you out of your house during a coronavirus. Do you believe every hair on your head is numbered or not? Then what are you doing at home? Is God in charge of every hair on your head? I've heard of the old stories about the guy that would string this giant string over the Niagara Falls. And he would go across it back in the early days in the 1920s. And they'd clap and they'd clap. And then the guy says, who thinks I can do this with a wheelbarrow? And they would all raise their hands. And then he'd go up with a wheelbarrow, come back. And he would say, who thinks I could do this with a wheelbarrow with someone in it? And they would all raise their hand. And they'd say, all right, we'll start with you, Gene. Whoa. I don't know about that. Do you believe every hair in your head is numbered? Yes, then get out of the boat. Otherwise, you don't believe. You don't believe. Do you believe God is in charge of your life? Do you believe every hair on your head is numbered? Or in some people's cases, every hair on their beard? If you don't have hair. A lot of people don't believe that. I once heard Andrew Womack say on the radio, the most evil, despicable doctrine there is in all of the world is to think that God is sovereign. Right? You look like a German shepherd there, Dwayne. Strange to your ears. Because they think that you are sovereign and you are a little God and you have got it in yourself to change these things. You can heal anyone and everyone. You can do whatever you want because, as I said, are you not gods? People believe that. This is what we're going to look at here today and in these next 5 weeks. What does sovereign mean? The sovereignty of God as it relates to man and salvation, not creating the planets or the universe, but you and how you come to Christ. Is God sovereign? What does it mean? Now, the sovereignty of God as it relates to man and salvation has a catchy little acronym known as TULIP. TULIP. Now, before I explain TULIP, Let me first define sovereignty. Sovereign. Here's four definitions. Number one, a monarch. That is a king or a queen or other supreme ruler. Number two, a person who has supreme power or authority. Number three, a group or a body of persons or a state having sovereign authority. Number four, for those of you really old enough to remember, it is a gold coin from the United Kingdom equal to £1 sterling. Went out of circulation in the year 1914. The sovereign. I think I remember Ebenezer Scrooge saying, come back with that turkey and I'll give you a sovereign. I'm like, what the was a sovereign? As for God, here's a few more. Here's a good one. I like this. The sovereignty of God is the biblical teaching that all things are under God's rule and control and that nothing happens without his direction or permission. Do you believe it, or do you hear some amens? Do you believe that or not? Again, the sovereignty of God is the biblical teaching that all things are under God's rule and control, and that nothing happens without his discretion or without his direction or permission. Matter of fact, that about sums it up. Let's just cut right to the chase. All right, here's a few more. God works not just some things, but all things according to the counsel of his will. Well, what do you know? That's a Bible verse. Ephesians 1:11. It says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's good news. Who do you want to obtain an inheritance from? Aunt Mimi or Jehovah? Where you can get her banana bread recipe? Or Almighty God, an inheritance. Not something. You're going to inherit him an eternal life. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. That just excites me. God is in charge. He works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Here's more regarding the definition of sovereignty. His purposes are all-inclusive and never thwarted. Nothing takes him by surprise. Well, what do you know? That's in the Bible too. Listen to this, Isaiah 46:8. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the ending from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all of my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will do it. That's good enough for me. How about you? That's Isaiah 46:8-11. All right, one last definition of sovereign before we move on. The sovereignty of God is not merely that God has the power and the right to govern all things, but that he does so. Always. And without exception. In other words, God is not merely sovereign in principle, but he's sovereign de facto, that is, in practice. It's not just he is or he could, he does and he is. He is actively sovereign. So these are all no-brainers, right? I mean, everyone believes in the sovereignty of God, right? Well, not exactly. You see, if God is in charge of and responsible for everything you see in the world, I mean, I love baseball. If the world had a manager, like a baseball team, And if the team was judged by wins and losses, and kindness and goodwill toward men were the wins, and evil and sin were the losses, then it would be time to fire the manager when you look outside here. Right? Evil and sin are winning. If you're sovereign, why are you losing? Why do the losses far outweigh the wins? If God were sovereign, then why? 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 Why do little children die of cancer? Why do bad things happen to God's people? If God is sovereign, and if all things happen according to his will, out of his own mouth, then either A, God is not sovereign, or B, as the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I choose B. That's the right answer. You can't understand God and all that he does, but you can grasp and understand that a fact that he loves you, and he loves you so much that he sent his son down here to die in your place. That you can run and take to the bank with. There's no mystery there. The mystery we looked at Wednesday night, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. The mystery is that God loves you so much he would allow his own son to come down here and die on a cross for you. That's the mystery to the angels, not to us. Praise God. John 3:16, that's the mystery. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I also offer another explanation for why little children die of cancer, and that is sin. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. It's just like the coronavirus, you see, is sin. I've got it. Maybe I don't know it. I give it to you. You give it to him. You give it to him. And before you know it, everyone's got it. That's what Paul says. As by one man sin entered the world and death because of it, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Don't blame God for this. Blame your Uncle Adam for this. Not God. It's not his fault. He didn't do this. Romans 5:14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those that didn't sin like Adam did, who is the figure of him who was to come. That means Adam is still, that's Romans 5:14. That answers the question, why do little children die of cancer? Why do bad things happen to good people? The answer is sin. Started with Adam, and it spread to all mankind as a result of him. Then it says, even over those that didn't sin in the likeness of Adam, meaning innocent bystanders, also got afflicted with this, like Arthur Ashe, who got AIDS. And he didn't do anything wrong. He was having heart surgery. And he got somebody else's blood. I don't know if he's deceased or not. I don't remember. But he came up with AIDS through no fault of his own because it spread to him from someone else. Just because you don't understand it all doesn't mean that God is not sovereign. Okay, also, the opposite point of view from this Calvinism and the sovereignty of God was brought about by someone named Arminius. His name was Jacob Arminius, born in 1560. He was a Dutch theologian whose supporters were known as the Remonstrants. They believed in the free will of man. And out of the Remonstrants came Anabaptists, where Southern Baptists came from, and Methodists follow after soon. Okay, each person may choose the contingent response of either resisting God's grace or yielding to it. So there's fights when the church, when the Reformed Church, when the Protestant Church started, between these Calvinists and the other side of the fence, these Arminians who believed in the strongly in the free will of man as opposed to the Calvinists. The main difference, Arminianism teaches God's desires can be resisted. Calvinists believe they can't be resisted. Arminius, regarding TULIP, total depravity, that's T. Instead of unconditional election, they believe in conditional. Instead of limited atonement, they believe in unlimited. Instead of irresistible grace, they say you can say no to the grace of God. And instead of the perseverance of the saints, they believe it's contingent on whether or not you cross the finish line. So, big difference. Okay, let's move on here now to TULIP. Total depravity on the handout. Let me say, too, the purpose of the sovereignty of God as it relates to you is this. As God is responsible for everything that transpires in the world, God is the one responsible for your salvation. Think about the first statement. God is responsible for everything that transpires in the world. Again, Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Write that down at Matthew 10:30. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. You see, God indeed is large and in charge. And this verse, Ephesians 5:20. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good, I'm glad people are writing. That's Ephesians 5:20. Let me read it again. Giving thanks always, and hear the words. He doesn't say in all things. He says give thanks for all things. Giving thanks to God the Father in the name of Jesus for all things. You see, you can only give thanks to God for all things if God is responsible for all things. He's not going to tell you to give thanks if Satan is responsible for it. Naturally, then, God is responsible for your salvation. I mean, why not? He's responsible for everything else. But here's the rub. The other camp says, well, I held on to the innate goodness that was inside of me, which I actually inherited from my grandmother, Vesta Beulah, whom I heard was a pretty good old woman. But yet, off in the distance, I hear the words spoken by Jesus Christ. You did not choose me. Or actually, he says, no one is good but one, God. And the words of King David, there is no one good. No, not one. All right, that's Psalm 14:3. Jesus, why do you call me good? No one is good but one God. I believe that's Mark 10:17 if you're writing. Church, if you think you've had anything good to do with your salvation, you're gravely mistaken. Even the choosing part. Once again, Jesus Christ, the final authority, John 15:16, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I ordained you or appointed you. How cool is that? Okay, TULIP. TULIP is the acronym that best describes the sovereignty of God as it relates to salvation. Now, I didn't say I believed in all these, because I don't. So much so, I had the parts that I don't believe, and this church doesn't officially believe, put into our statement of faith that you read online. How does God save a person? How much of the transaction is God responsible for? How much of the transaction are you responsible for? So those who hold to the Reformed tradition believe that the following acronym best describes the sovereignty of God as it relates to salvation. Okay, TULIP, are you ready? The T stands for total depravity. You see it there in the handout. Meaning that old stuff that perhaps your mother or father or teacher or the bully over at the school told you is actually true. You ain't no good. Might be wrong to tell a child, but Jesus says no one is good. You're not holding on to, you know, let me help end any confusion you might. You are not holding on to any goodness. There is no goodness in you. Jesus says no one is good. Psalm 14 and 53 says God looks down on all of humanity to see if there's anybody good. No one is good but one, that is God. You're totally depraved. Meaning you're dead in your sins. And meaning you don't have it within yourself to get saved. You don't have it. You don't have it within yourself to get saved. Because the name total depravity can cause people to have wrong ideas about what is meant. You know, the word deprive, you know, you say, well, I'm not an axe murderer. I don't beat up my wife. I don't take heroin. Because of people thinking like that, some people use other terms to define this, like for T, total inability, or radical corruption. Or better yet, moral inability.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only 5-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
If you've ever been gone and ran back home, make you sing freedom songs till the break of dawn. We ain't singing about good, ain't singing about bad. We're singing about life back from the dead. Have you ever seen the sunshine?